Welcome to the jungle. We start our second hour. Nice to have you here. It's going to be a good hour. Coming up in about 40 minutes or so, a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Walker, will be joining us. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Last night was a pretty disastrous night for anybody with the last name Gruden. A rather disastrous night for anybody who had anything to do with the Redskins organization. Just a bad night. But then that's what happens anytime you let them anywhere near Monday night. So that went as expected. Meantime, Bills Mafia is feeling it. They've got their showdown already, an early season showdown. They're 3-0. They've got the Pats coming in, and they're feeling themselves. We got into that as well. Coming up next hour, Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Johnny Davis. Your telephone number is toll-free. You know this. But as promised, we'll talk some more NFL right now. You have your telephone number. If you want to jump in, go right ahead and do it. We are joined by the host of Tiki and Tyranny. It's coming up right after this on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. He is an NFL analyst on the other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. He is an Emmy Award winner. Brandon Tyranny is my guest. Brandon, what's up, man? How are you?
Jim, how you doing today, pal? What's going on, man?
Good, man. How you feeling? How are things?
Things are good. No complaints here. Just another day in the city, ready to roll. You know how it is.
I know how it is. All right, so listen, if you were to go back to this past weekend, when you looked at how the Giants and the Jets played in week one and week two, what were the first 2 weeks like in New York for Giants and Jets fans?
I'll start with the Jets. There were some actual expectations coming into the season. You know, we saw nice flashes from Sam Darnold coming into the at the end of last season. And you look at the offseason upgrades, obviously, bringing C.J. Mosley, you bring in an offensive-minded head coach, and you start to say, okay, obviously the Pats have another year or two on the throne here, but at least there's some forward momentum, there's some optimism. And then, of course, what happens? You flush down a 16-0 lead late against the Bills. You lose. You get embarrassed on Monday night. Everybody's hurt. Darnold's got mono. Gase doesn't have any good, doesn't project any positive emotion. And the Jets feel almost like a funeral procession until Darnold gets back. The Giants, boy, the Giants, it was several different emotions. The first one was almost resignation, I would say, Jim. You come into the season, all right, you know, we've got to delicately work around the eventual divorce from a franchise icon with a couple of championships in Eli. We've got a player that nobody believes we should have taken at number six, and quite frankly, we don't have the equity within the city for our fans to even have the conviction that we picked the right guy. But deep down, we know that this guy can play. We just need to figure out the right time to insert him. And, of course, they play two games. They look horrendous. They look old. They look uninspiring. Here comes the kid off the bench, dropping dimes. He's got quick feet. The entire energy around the Giants has changed, and rightfully so.
We are talking to Brandon Tyranny. So you see Jones, and he gets that start against Tampa Bay. What did you make of what you saw from him and how electric he was?
Well, you know, I think you even have to go back before the Bucs game here, Jim. He was in studio. He was doing an internship down at the stock exchange last summer. He just came in and he was chopping it up with me and Tiki off air. And his disposition was just naturally calm. So I thought that was a good foreshadow. In hindsight, I don't know that I really thought about it then, to be honest with you. But now as I look back on that first meeting, I'm like, you know what? This kid has the perfect disposition to try to, you know, flourish in New York and step in for a franchise icon because he's got a slow heartbeat. And everybody was crushing the pick, and he just kept a tough chin. He said, "Okay, you know, I will eventually do what I do, and I will quell those detractors, that loud noise, that negative energy." And then you see him step on the field. You're like, "Whoa, we could get past page one of the playbook here. This guy's got a little wiggle. We can." There was one play where he actually felt the pressure in the pocket. He didn't waver too far from the pocket, but he took two quick steps to his left. And he flung it off his back foot 40 yards on a rope, Jim. And I think that's where people said, wow, this isn't just a cute, you know, a little smart story from Duke. This kid, 6'5", who's 220, who ran an impressive 40, who's got arm talent, who really just looks like he's ready and completely in control. He's immersed in the moment. He just fit. He looked like a third-year player. He didn't look like a rookie. Now, you want to say it's the Bucks? That's fine. That's fair. Still on the road. There was a different energy in that building that day because they retired. They put Rondé in the Ring of Fame at halftime, in the the Ring of Honor at halftime. So there was some a little more juice maybe than an ordinary Tampa Bay Bucks game would be. It's been relatively benign there for a better part of a decade, whatever. But Daniel Jones, in one game, Jim, it's amazing, has just silenced every single detractor and every discerning voice. It's amazing.
Brandon Tierney joining us. All right, so we can say that's just the Bucs, but let me put it to you another way. Mm-hmm. Do the Giants win that game with Eli Manning at quarterback?
No, there's no way. If they're down 18 points, there's absolutely no chance that they win the game because they just don't have enough in the playbook that, it's just, you have to do conventional stuff. You can't roll them out. You can't do misdirections. You can't do, the things that the young modern quarterback can do. So, in fairness to Eli, again, if they're down by a couple of scores, no, he doesn't have the weaponry and he doesn't have the talent to do that by himself. If it's 0-0 from the outset, who knows? The Bucs aren't that good. They seem pretty destined to try to want to give that game away. But I'll tell you this here, Jim. This is an interesting referendum, granted a quick one and an early one, on Pat Shurmur. I don't know if Pat Shurmur can coach, and quite frankly, I don't think anybody in New York believed before this game that he can coach. Think about his three previous seasons, Jim. 2-5-11s, 1-4-12. Two seasons with the Browns, one ugly season with the Giants, and he's sitting here saying, this guy's an offensive genius. This is the most pedestrian, pathetic offense I've ever seen. And then you start to see, oh, wow, this is what it looks like when you could get a little deeper in the playbook. You could do this, and you could do that, and I could mix this, and I could mix that. At least now people don't believe that Pat Shurmur is an unmitigated disaster.
Brandon Tierney joining us on the program once again. So what did you think when Saquon Barkley first suffered that injury? What kind of thoughts did you have?
I'll tell you what, I texted Tiki. Tiki was in the booth for Fox with Rondé. I thought his knee exploded. It obviously is an ankle, and timetable 4-8, and we know he's a freak. But now we get to see what his if he has supernatural recuperative powers, which he very well might. Jim, I thought his knee exploded. I really did. That's the thing. You take a quarterback at that. A running back at that spot in the draft. Yeah, quarterbacks could get hurt as well. I get it. Carson Palmer's knee got blown up. Tom Brady's knee got blown up. Jimmy Garoppolo's knee got blown up. Various draft selections, I get that as well. It's the NFL, and there's big bodies at high rates of speed and ridiculously violent collisions. And bodies get compromised. And while you could kind of protect yourself for a hit and almost kind of roll into it safely, sometimes you get pulled down from behind by somebody who's 240, and there's just no human salvation. So, when you talk about draft equity, a top 10 pick on a running back, that's what you worry about. Look at Gurley with the arthritic condition in his knee. Saquon, narrowly averted disaster. He's such a good kid. He's such a weapon. In a weird way, I said this to Tiki too, Jim. In a weird way, this might be a bit of a silver lining, very much short term, for the development of Daniel Jones. Now that he's not there, you're going to have to really look across the entire football field rather than, hey, in my back pocket, once the pressure comes, boom, let me dump it 2 yards to Saquon and let him make everybody miss. Now it will almost accelerate his development and force him to go through deeper progressions. Obviously, you want Saquon, but if there's a silver lining, that's the best I could give you.
Brandon Tierney joining us to talk some New York football. Before I let you go, let's talk about the Jets again. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they jump out to a 16-0 lead on the Bills in week one. It's a big statement against a divisional rival. And then they give up 17 straight and they lose that game. How did that feel in that moment?
I'll tell you, you want the honest answer? I was sitting in my man cave with my 4-year-old son, and I'm saying to myself, why the hell am I subjecting this young man to this team? Well, Jim, why am I doing it to this kid? It happened to me, and I suffered through the decades. I get it. But am I going to really hand the baton to this harmless, innocent little 4-year-old? Do I really need to do this?
Right.
It sucked. I mean, what do you want me to say? You got to modify expectations. You have to know when you have a team, and you have to know when you don't. And listen, I do this for a living. Not that I'm always right, but I obviously have a grip on the league, and I kind of know what's up. And I know when it's a stretch to say the Jets can compete, and I know when it's a stretch to say that it's not a stretch for them to have a representative team. I chronicled before, as soon as we started the interview, the conversation, that there was a positive energy with this team. But I want to point this out. I know you got to run. This is important, though, for the Jets, okay? Adam Gase. Now, I know he looked strung out on drugs with those ridiculous memes at his press conference. It was bizarre. I actually thought, and of course he wasn't, I was okay with the hire. I thought for finally the Jets are insulating a young quarterback with a young, innovative offensive mind. But I'll tell you this right now. Adam Gase better change his body language quick, because you get one chance, and you know this, Romy, you get one chance to implement a culture of accountability and positivity and belief. And every time he slumps to that podium and he's looking down, his hat pulled over his eyes like a high school kid who doesn't want to get called on in the back of the class for a biology question, you got to project a little more forcefully, man. I still believe in Adam Gase, and the weapons are coming back. Sam is on the mend. He needs to change the body language. People feel it, and people don't like it, and neither do I.
I agree with you. The body language and the attitude, man, are terrible. And you only get that first chance, that one chance.
Yeah.
If you're trying to create that culture, it seems to me it's not working. One more thought about Darnold. Now,
sure.
The point, the expectation is, Brandon, that he's going to be back for Week 5 against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. He was quoted yesterday as saying, we're going to go on a little run here. It's going to be fun, but it's going to take a lot of work, end of quote. I mean, obviously, you want your starting quarterback to have, well, good body language and a good attitude. But from what you've seen, is there any reason to think they're going to go on a run?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit here. Again, I think when you go macro view, you're obviously a national show. I'm a national show. I think macro fans are like, please, the Jets, whatever. Wake me up when they're relevant. I think when you get a little more micro and you get a little deeper into the weeds, you really do real. And I don't just mean Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley; those are obvious ones. But their starting tight end, who trust me is going to be good, Herndon, suspended the first four games of the season, and I almost look at it, I say, wow. So I'm almost, in a way, galvanized. Yeah, they blew the 16-point lead against the Bills, and I'm sitting there saying, man, Darnold missed a couple of throws I really thought he would make this year. But at least now I could say he had mono. So the belief is once he's healthy, he will connect on those throws. The schedule is harsh, man. But if you want to contend, you got to beat some good teams. So they're coming off. They'll get to the bye. You'll get an Eagles team who's very beat up. And if you could start to string together a single win, you got Miami twice. You got the Giants down the road on the schedule. You get the Bills again, obviously, who are pretty good, and Bills Mafia is rolling. Do I think they 0-3 is too tough for this team? But they're not going 2-14. Put this in the bank, Jim. There will be a point this football season where people look at the Jets and say, "That's what I thought I would get in September."
He is the host of Tiki and Tierney. It's coming up right here after this show on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Also an NFL analyst on the other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. He is an Emmy Award winner, valued member of the CBS family, Brandon Tierney. My man, BT, I will see you this weekend in New York.
Love it. Thanks a lot, Romy. Anytime, brother.
Thanks for coming on, Brandon. Appreciate you. Brandon Tierney joining us, talking. That's a lot of content in one segment. Good, good content. Jets and Giants both. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we're open. I've got Anthony Walker, Colts linebacker, coming up at 40 past. The next segment is wide open. All right, anything you want to hit on. We can talk NFC North as well. Are the Packers for real? Defensively, they look like they are. What about offensively? Do you like what you see so far? Yeah, it's not where it needs to be. But are they going to get there? Will the offense catch up to the defense? And if they do that, then where does that leave them? Also, still ahead, Mike Gundy goes Mike Gundy once again, which is bad news for a certain member of the media. Daniel Cormier may not be done after that shocking loss last time out. We were not sure whether or not he would come back. Now it sounds like he is going to come back. All of that still ahead, and Johnny Davis next hour. So, fellas, how many of you are guilty of using your wife or your girlfriend's shampoo in the shower? I'm guessing more than a few. Have you considered the importance of using a product designed for your own hair? You know, men's hair? After all, your hair is different. Dove Men Plus Care has created a hair care range designed to fortify men's hair and give it the care that it needs to stay strong and healthy. So do your family and your hair a favor. Get your own products. Dove Men Plus Care. For stronger, more resilient hair, it's available at Walmart.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, quick reminder for you. Next time you want a protein snack, you want to ditch the drinks, ditch the bars. Grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef. that rocks your craving for a snack that satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Do you think the Jets are ready to go on a little run? Daniel Jones did look tremendous, but it was just one game. Kyle Allen looked tremendous. Just one game. All of these things coming up. We talk some college football right now. So when I mention Mike Gundy, what do you think? The Oklahoma State head football coach is known for a number of things. Like if I were to say to you, Mike Gundy reaction, you probably think one of three things, right? Consistent winning at his alma mater. Legendary rants directed at the media. And his famous, glorious beaver paddle mullet. I could sit here all day long and run down the resume of a guy with 9 bowl wins in 14 seasons. I could empty the archive of him just teeing off at reporters who deserve it. Or I could just wax eloquently about his Canadian passport haircut. But I don't need to. You know this guy. You know what he's about. You know he can coach. You know the guy's got a Hall of Fame soundbite locked and loaded at all times. And you know he still rocks the sickest lettuce in all college football, if not all of sport. You know this about Gundy. But some of you may not know and may not be as schooled up on another Oklahoma State icon, the late T. Boone Pickens. I'm sure many of you know him and you know that name. If not, here's a brief refresher. T. Boone Pickens was an extremely wealthy oilman. He died earlier this month at the age of 91. Like Gundy, Pick also went to college in Stillwater. Over the years, Thomas Boone Pickens, you want to talk about a wealthy oilman? He donated a total of $1 billion to OSU. Billion with a B. You know, the kind of jack that gets your name on a few buildings around campus, including the football stadium where the Cowboys play on Saturdays and where Mike Gundy has coached since 05. So I mentioned that Pick passed away earlier this month. 13 days ago, to be exact. One day after his passing, some obscure website called WhatTheFussNews.com published an article titled T. Boone Pickens Leaves Mike Gundy $30 in His Will to Go to Sports Clips. Now, something as absurd as that, something as absurd as a super famous dying billionaire leaving 30 bucks to a super famous college coach to chop off his Mississippi mud flap. If that were a thing, it would have made the rounds by now. We would know about it. Except it's not. It's like a ridiculous thing. And it's been 13 days since that article was published, and nobody knew about it. Nobody had heard about it. So it's not a thing, right? You would know about it, right? Well, here's what you don't know, or why you don't know. The article was like a really bad attempt at satire, like a total wannabe onion piece with none of the subtleties that make satire satire. And it was published to a website that at last check had 28 Twitter followers. Not 280,000, not 28,000, not 2,800, not 280, 28. So let me give you a part of the article so you can see why this joke never got off the ground. And I'm going to read directly from the article right now. Quote, surprisingly, amongst other specifics in his will, Pickens left $30 to head football coach Mike Gundy to get a GD haircut. Pickens said in his will, I begged him for years to cut that godforsaken mullet off. Maybe now is my dying wish he'll take it more seriously. Gundy replied, gosh, I'm honored that Mr. Pickens would name me in his will, but god dang it, my mullet keeps too much or helps too much in croutin'. Sources say Gundy has been going around Stillwater, drowning his sorrows with a bottle at several local bars, riding mechanical bulls, and desperately searching for a reason to go against Pickens' wishes. So directly from the article, word for word, not at all funny, not amusing, not clever. Again, satire only works if it's believable. Mike Gundy bringing his own bottles to local bars, riding mechanical bulls, is way too try hard to get anybody who matters to bite. Or so you would think. Enter Mark Rosner of the AP. Yes, the AP. The freaking Associated Press. The best of the best. I remember when I was coming up, we all wanted to work for the AP. That was a big, big deal, man. Big, big deal. When I was in Santa Barbara, every once in a while, somebody would bust out and get to the AP, and we were like, damn! Big deal. Sincerely. Curators of news. Enemies of lies. Journalism's finest. So this guy's on a Big 12 conference call with Gundy. And instead of asking Gundy about maybe that tough loss to Texas, the upcoming game against K-State, he decides to ask him about that 13-day-year-old article that was tweeted out to 28 followers. Check out this exchange.
Was there any truth to those reports that Boone Pickens kind of joking around and left you a gift card for a haircut?
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in. Do you want to talk football? We'll talk football. If you want to be out there and talk idiotic social media, then you need to go do something with a college kid.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
M.R. Gundy, if you need him. Michael Ray Gundy, if you need him. And honestly, I think we all do. Telling an AP journo to not hurt the real journalism world is, in the words of Mike Leach, utterly outstanding. You gotta love when a college coach is a better steward to journalism than an accredited AP journo. To call him a jackass on a recorded call with multiple other journos on it, man, that is too much. I think my favorite part, though, is after he swiftly rips this dude's cred to shreds, the journo has no choice but to thank him for it and hang up, because it was that good and that appropriate of a verbal ass-whipping. And the guy deserved it. And then after that, after the Jay thanks Gundy for it, Gundy hits him with a, you bet.
Was there any truth to those reports that Boone Pickens kind of was joking around and left you a gift card for a haircut?
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in. Do you want to talk football? We'll talk football. If you want to be out there and talk idiotic social media, then you need to go do something with a college kid.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
You bet. You bet. Like, come on back anytime you want. I'll be happy to tell you how bad you're hurting the journalism world once again and why you're a jackass and why you should not be allowed to make a phone call to this conference call. Anytime. My pleasure. No problem. Sure thing. Happy to do it. You bet.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Listen, this is not where I live. I think if you listen to the show, you know that I'm not here to call out my own kind. I'm not here to put media members on blast. I think you learned that about me a long time ago. Have you noticed that? I never talk about other shows. I don't talk about other hosts because I'm here to talk sports and maybe some pop culture and things like that. It's too easy to talk about the other shows and other people. But come on. I mean, the article this dude referenced was written nearly 2 weeks ago and tweeted out to 28 people and not picked up by anybody, and included a part where sources told the unnamed author that Gundy was getting drunk and riding mechanical bulls while mulling the decision about whether or not to take a $30 gift card from a famous dead billionaire. So if you're going to ask that same coach if there's any truth to that, you're going to get owned by Gundy and called a jackass. Because as Gundy said, you're not helping the, quote, real journalism world. You're hurting it. And you shouldn't be doing that on Big 12 teleconference calls, Rosner.
Don't hurt the real journalism world. It's jackasses like you that cause problems, okay? They shouldn't even let you call in.
Also, you know, on those teleconference calls, like you get your shot. Like, you get to ask the question, and maybe if you're lucky, you can jam in a follow. If you're quick and you're good. I mean, you want to use your chip on that? Gundy goes Gundy again. When we return, Anthony Walker Colts linebacker joins me. That's coming up. I want to double back to some other times dudes have owned reporters. Hey, listen, I'm on the media side, but I'm also on the side of what's right and what's fair. And sometimes, you know, my business, our business, it's no different than any other business. There are people in my business who make mistakes, and there are people in my business who are out and out tools and deserve to get owned, like any other business. So I'll try and double back to that.
Thank you.
You bet.
You bet. But we're talking Colts football when we come back. Before I do that, I've got a sports update for you. Here it is.
On CBS Sports Radio.
We've been talking young quarterbacks. We talked about Daniel Jones and how electric he was in getting that start and the fact that Eli Manning does not win that game. Kyle Allen looked awesome in playing for Cam Newton. Cam Newton could be looking at 4 to 8 weeks off, and already there's a lot of fans who are trying to say, you know what, we've seen enough. We found the heir apparent. We found the future. We've seen the future. Nice knowing you, Cam. Cam's got to love that. That's got to feel great. Cam's out there last year hanging like his arm is about to come off, and he's out there grinding through it any way he can, and he's got a bum wheel. He's not right. Just grinding through it, dragging himself out there, doing whatever he can to try to help the team. And then the guy finally goes down. Kyle Allen steps up. And there's something with him, for sure. He looked great. But one game in, the fans, some of the media already saying, hey, nice knowing you, Cam. See ya. Thanks for everything. He's going to be like 60 minutes later. That's it? You already forgot about me? You don't need me? I'll have that for you, too, a little bit later on. Daniel Cormier may not be done, which would be great. In fact, he may come back, and if he does come back, he may come back to fight Stipe. And that's what the world needs, a third fight between the two of them, especially after how the second fight ended. Ariel Helwani, friend of the program, and a gold ticket recipient, had that story yesterday. So I'll get into that. Anthony Walker is going to join me. We are efforting him. Hey, Rome, asking Gundy to cut his hair is like asking Beowulf to shave his stash. May it never happen. He won't. Not unless he has to. He knows better. Dear Jim, the guy who asked Mike Gundy about that bogus rumor gives a bad name to all of us media members who spent years carefully honing our craft to get to the top. Yours, Mike Golick's kid. Brett from Bugaha, straight fire. Hey, dope, what did I just say? I'm not talking about other media members or other shows. I don't do that. I've never done that. Back in the day, it was always the thing. People constantly coming for me, constantly talking about the jungle, constantly talking about the listeners, constantly talking about the culture of this program. And I always said then, and here we are a quarter of a century later, I'd say the same thing right now. Here we are. I talk sports. I interview athletes. They're talking about me. And I've never talked about those shows. Ever. Brett, you should know it. Rome, $30 for a haircut is expensive. That's like a dollar per hair. Signed, Prince William. CMPHX. Again, I would much rather talk sports, not about people who have follicular challenges, people who've gained maybe 2 or 3 pounds. Because y'all have perfect hair. Because y'all are perfectly shredded. Because y'all weigh what you weighed in high school. Because you're all in amazing shape. Because y'all eat clean. Because you're all so awesome.
Thank you.
Do better. You bet. As promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. He had a huge game in that win Sunday over Atlanta. 14 tackles, 2 for loss. 105 tackles, 10 tackles for a loss, a sack and a fumble recovery last season. Played his college ball at Northwestern. He was the 161st pick overall in 2017. Indianapolis is 2-1. They're at home against Oakland on Sunday. That, of course, is a CBS game. Anthony Walker makes his jungle debut. Anthony, good to have you on. How are you?
Appreciate you guys having me on. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Good to have you. You know, guys always talk about how hard it is to win in the NFL, so that's a given. Every win in that league is special, but how good did it feel to win the home opener on Sunday and to do it against a good Falcons team?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we talked, I think Peyton Manning talked to us in the, during training camp and was like, don't never get tired of winning. You know, I don't care how good you are, how good, you know, you think your team is, you know, you can't take winning for granted because it's so hard to win in this league. And I tell everybody, my family, they're like, man, I want to come to a good game. I'm like, dude, you can come to every game. Every game is going to be decided by one score or less 90% of the time, you know. So I think, you know, going against this opponent that we just, you know, faced Atlanta, I mean, so many weapons on offense, a great quarterback, you know, weapons on defense and everything like that. For us to come out and, you know, play in front of the home crowd for the first time and get that win, you know, is definitely great.
Anthony Walker joining us. Now, you had an absolutely huge game. It seemed like you were everywhere. What was your mindset going into that game?
I just wanted to do my role on the defense. You know, I knew I had, you know, the move to Darius Leonard position at will, knowing he'd be out. You know, I just wanted to make as many plays as I could. You know, I know Darius' whole mindset is he doesn't have 15 tackles a game, you know, then he played bad. So, obviously, I played bad in his eyes, and I told him I'll play better next week for him. So, if he's not out there with us.
Yeah, that's really something. Like, it should come as no surprise whatsoever based on what you did last year and the fact that you and Darius Leonard were the league's leading tackle tandem. But if you go back to your rookie year, you had to fight through some injuries, and you didn't get rolling the way you would have liked. So when you look back on that rookie year, what kind of thoughts do you have, and what was it like to deal with those challenges?
Yeah, I was just actually talking to one of our rookies about it. You know, I said my rookie year, I basically took it as my redshirt year of college. I was hurt and everything like that, but I used it to, you know, kind of get my body in the physical shape that I needed it to be in, you know, to be an NFL player. I also just learned the ins and outs of the game. I watched the guys that were in front of me, you know, like John Bostic, Antonio Morris, and all those guys. I watched those guys prepare and everything like that, learn from them, and then just kind of try to apply it to my, you know, my routine and everything like that. So I think it helped me more than anything. You know, it definitely put everything in a perspective of, you know, me being hurt. You know, you can't take the game for granted and everything like that. But I could also use it as a positive to understand, you know, what it means to be a pro.
We're talking Anthony Walker. Now, you mentioned that Darius Leonard was hurt. How would you describe, when he's out there and the success you guys have had playing together, how would you describe the chemistry between you and Leonard on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think we play really well off of each other, you know. You know, I know Darius is always going to be, you know, he's going to have my back if I go and try to take a risk, and I'm going to have his if he does the same thing. So I think we play really well off of each other, number one. But I think that's more so based on the relationship we have off the field. You know, he's probably at my house waiting for me right now. But, you know, that's just we just always, you know, hanging around each other outside of football. And when you build that relationship, that makes the, you know, the on-field relationship even much better.
We're talking to Anthony Walker, and we're talking Colts football. So when Andrew Luck announced his retirement, there was a story that you told Jacoby Brissett, quote, dude, 100%, let's go, we're with you, end quote. So what had you seen from him in the past that gave you that kind of confidence in him?
Yeah, also my rookie year, because I didn't play, I got a chance to sit back and watch the offense a little bit more as well. You know, so I saw what Jacoby brought to the table. I saw, you know, again, my dad was an offensive coordinator, quarterback coach when I was growing up in high school. So I kind of have, like, you know, what a good quarterback is and, you know, how they look, you know, and just their demeanor. And when I was watching Jacoby, I just saw how, you know, he was so confident, even killed, you know, no matter what the situation was, going good or bad. And then I saw this year, you know, we have weapons. You know, we have guys that can go out there. And really, you know, when they have the ball in their hand, they're very dangerous. And we have the offensive line, we have the running game and everything like that. So I was really confident because, you know, the guys around Jacoby more so than, you know, just Jacoby. I know he's going to be great, but I know his mindset is, man, if I get the ball into my playmaker's hands, you know, they're going to make me look good. So, yeah, I was really, you know, really, really confident in him because I know, you know, the type of person he is, the way he prepares as a, you know, quarterback and everything like that, but also the weapons that we have around him.
Colts linebacker Anthony Walker is joining us. You know, when you talk about guys that you had confidence in and a guy whose back you also had, how about Adam Vinatieri? All week long, you were telling everybody, this guy's going to bounce back. He's going to be fine. And sure enough, he was 2 for 2 on field goals, perfect on extra points. Man, how good did it feel to see him show up like that?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely made me look like a smart man.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But no, I mean, again, when you're talking about the GOAT, you know, at the position, you know, many who's kicked so many game winners, Super Bowl winners, whatever it is, playoff winners, you know, you talk about, you know, that guy right there, you know, take everything else out of it. If anybody can get, you know, get out of, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's him. So I knew that, you know, he'd just go back to the drawing board, go back to preparing, you know, the same way he did every time. And, you know, he's going to execute when the next, when his time was called again. So, you know, again, we're all human. You know, I guess Vinny's just looked at as a superhuman because of all the greatness that he's displayed over the years. But, again, you know, I wasn't surprised that he did what he did on Sunday. And I was very, very happy for him because, again, you know, at, you know, the game, just the fans and everything like that, they hate you at one moment, they love you at one moment. But, you know, with him, he never wavered. He kept his head down, stayed focused, and, you know, that's what I expected from him, though.
You know, you mentioned your dad, and the Colts did a really cool video where you went back home to South Florida. What was life like for you growing up there?
Yeah, you know, it was really, you know, my dad was huge on academics, number one, so I think that was kind of where my foundation was built, you know, very strong academic background. And then, you know, football athletics period came after that. But, you know, again, you know, South Florida, you know, that's all we really pretty much know how to do is play football. You know, that's if there's one thing. So, again, I played with a lot of, you know, great, talented guys, you know, growing up, you know, that guys that weren't able to make it to the NFL that I thought, you know, man, there's no way he's not going to play in the NFL. So, I was able to play against a lot of elite talent very, very early, and I think that kind of helped me a lot. Yeah, and then going to Northwestern from there, I thought, you know, that was, you know, pretty much my dad was big on, again, academics and everything like that. I was really huge on going to Stanford or Duke. Wasn't able to get a scholarship offer from those two, and ended up going to Northwestern, and I think it worked out pretty well.
That's amazing, really. Three amazing institutions. Like, really quickly, mm-hmm. You tell a story about how you ran track when you were roughly 10 or 11, and your dad came up with the idea that you do these track workouts in the morning, then you go to school, then you do your regular track practice in the afternoon.
Yeah.
What do you remember about those sessions?
Yeah, I hated it, actually. No, that was probably one of the, you know, if me and my dad ever got in an argument, which we rarely ever did, but if we did, it was definitely over track. Because he knew my friends did football and basketball, and he knew I wanted to play basketball, so he let me play my first year, but he said I had to do track as well. So he let me see, like, you know, how hard that would be. So, and then both of those are in the same season. So he was like, all right, I just want you to focus on track. You know, I'm listening to my dad. You know, my dad knows best. And, you know, I definitely think track did build a great foundation for me as far as form running and, you know, building, you know, stamina and everything like that. And one thing I tell people, difference between track and every other sport is track is more mental than anything. And people say that about a lot of sports, but track is very, very mental. You know, running the 400, you know, all that stuff. It's very, very tough, but I think that, I mean, I really hated track growing up. I really did, but I do think it was definitely huge for me and my success in football today because, you know, it definitely helped me a lot.
He is a linebacker for the Colts, coming off a huge game in that win over Atlanta. As I mentioned, 14 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, and you've got Indianapolis hosting Oakland Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. It's on CBS. The Colts are 2-1. Anthony Walker, my guest. My man, you crushed that. Great to have you on, Anthony. Thank you very much. Let's do it again.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Good, man. You got it. I'm going to take you up on that. Nice job. Really well done. Northwestern. Good energy. I like that. That's a really good interview. Good young player and a really good interview, and I love the energy. Big props. Colts coming through for the jungle again. All right, we come back with hour number 3. In this third hour, I've got Johnny Davis, an outfielder for the Tampa Bay Rays. Hey, if you're good enough, you can be on the air. If you're good enough, hit us up. 1-800-636-8686. And I want to talk about another jungle favorite, Daniel Cormier. We may not have seen the last of him. Stay tuned.